Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the URI podcast. I'm your host, co-host Jamie and Phoenix, and you're joined by our special guest today, Herman, CEO of Skip the Boat.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, man. I'm excited. Yeah, I appreciate you guys even taking the time to do this.
Basic question, just start off. How's your week been? Start of the week.
Start of the week. It's been good. It's been kind of full on. It's just like a really busy time like now, because like we're like in the process of trying to get this store set up, which is like a new step, which we've never really even like stepped into before. Yeah. So it's kind of just like all over the place, but can't complain. Like it's still a blessing, you know what I mean? Like I would rather be stressing out about this kind of stuff than having to stress about a 9-to-5. So I'm blessed.
Where's the store?
It'll be opening in Newmarket.
That's cool. Is that in the mall, or is it like kind of on the outside?
On the main strip.
Yeah, so like it's on Broadway, but it's closer to like the warehouse end.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it.
When does it open? April 6th, eh?
April 6th. So like, yeah, just over like a week and a bit.
Is it going to be like a massive like opening day?
Hopefully. I mean, that's like the goal, to like really just like blow out of the park and like really have a huge like line outside, have a bunch of people turn up and just give away a bunch of shit, to be
honest.
That's
awesome.
That'd be dope. Yeah. Are you going to have it similar to your pop-up stores?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like a smaller space, just because, you know, like if we're trying to think of like a store for like the long term, it's like a big space would kind of be a bit overwhelming to like, especially when you're starting off. So it's a smaller space, but we're going to be trying to incorporate a lot of the stuff that we kind of have at the pop-ups, like the free tattoos and, you know, a bunch of like exclusive items, $5 shirts and all that kind of stuff.
But
yeah, like, I mean, it's a big thing. So like we kind of want to go all out and like make sure that everyone that kind of comes through the door on opening day leaves with at least something special. So yeah, we're just trying to figure it all out. But
yeah.
How long has the store been like in the making?
It's been an idea for like a long time, but we only signed the lease like a month or so ago.
Oh, yeah.
So we've had like a few weeks to kind of get it set up and everything. It's been interesting. Like it's not like anything that I've really done before.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's really fun. It's kind of like when you're trying to put together like a show and you have like a blank warehouse and you're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But in terms of like a store. So, I mean, it's fun to just have like that creative freedom of like, all right, it's our store. We can put whatever we want in it and like design exactly how we want.
Is that the area? Were you looking at other areas? Or was Newmarket like, has to be Newmarket?
We were kind of torn up between a spot on K Road and Newmarket. And we went kind of like back and forth a lot. And I asked a million different people, like, where should we go? It just kind of worked out that the Newmarket one was a bit more like affordable. I feel like it's like kind of like a better spot in terms of like younger people are like out there all the time.
Too.
Yeah, it's really busy, which is sick. Plus like the K Road spot was a bit further away from like the main area of K Road. So I was like, it might have less foot traffic.
No, I think Newmarket was a good choice. K Road definitely good as well.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of how many people there, I reckon Newmarket was probably the one to go.
I find Newmarket has a lot of niche brands as well. It would be like kind of fits really well for you guys.
For sure.
For the sense they have like Fall in Front, Dropout, all those kind of stores that just don't really sell the typical like Hallensteins and all that type of stuff. So I think it will go real well, eh?
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
It's nice that stores like that are starting to go on that strip, because I remember COVID reading articles. That whole street, besides the mall, it was so bad. And when that mall opened up, all those stores along the road were like losing so much business.
Right.
Because of the Westfield.
Yeah, because there was, and then COVID as well.
Yeah.
Which I understand, but it's nice to see that there are more stores coming in.
Especially local brands as well, eh? Yeah. Like, they were just kind of all dying out around that time.
Mm.
So, Skip the Boat, where does the like name, this is something I've been wondering for ages, where does the name originate from? What was kind of the main inspiration for it?
So the name, like, it was originally actually going to be called Miss the Bus. And I was so certain on that name. I was like, this is like the perfect name. This is like what I want. But it wasn't available on Instagram. So I was like, I'm not doing like Miss the Bus 123 or like Miss the Bus NZ. I was like, I want the clean name. And if it's not that, I'm going to find something that is. It essentially like the like focus with the name was always to kind of like bring it back to like the underground, just because like that was, you know, always like the goal from the brand from like the very beginning, to kind of like represent the underground and kind of give the underground like a platform. So the boat's meant to like represent the mainstream, which is like, you know, for music, fashion, art, kind of anything. And it's kind of saying to like skip that and look outside of like what's really like shoved in your faces, pushed to you, because there's so many talented people that are doing crazy cool things that just fly completely like under the radar completely.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So at what point, because you used to do like COD compilations on YouTube,
did you?
Yeah. Oh, dude, that was my shit from like from like 12 years old or like 13. Like in high school, that's all I did. Like I would just go home and
make the montages.
Oh, yeah, dude, I was big into it. Like,
Nuketown.
Oh, 100%, man. Like I was like, that was my life. Like I was like fully like addicted. Like there was like a point where like anytime I had a dream at night, like I would always be in a COD map. Like I couldn't get outside a COD map. And I was like, man, like I don't know what's happening. But no, like I think that whole like period of my life was so crucial to like what I'm doing now. And I didn't see it at the time because at the time I'm like, oh shit. Like everyone's telling me like, dude, like stop playing games. Like, and my dad would get pissed off. I'm just like staring at a screen like constantly. And, but like, I don't know. Like I just thought that like, cause it wasn't just playing games for me. I was really like into like the whole like editing side of it. Mm. And I think I learned like a lot from it because back then there was like this big like community of people where there was a million teams and kind of like being part of a team was essentially like having your own brand. Mm. So, you know, I picked up like a lot of skills, like having to like post daily and stuff. Like I picked that up all from like doing that when I had my own like editing teams and I was with these teams and I was like, you know, seeing all these applications of people trying to join the teams. And, you know, I would have to like learn all these like small like details of like putting together posts and uploading them. That I would have never learned if it wasn't for that. And plus I made like, it wasn't a lot, but like I made like 20 grand like from doing it just in high school.
Shit.
I spent it on stupid shit like video games and like food. I gave it away to my friends because I was like, oh, like it's not real, like whatever. And
it's kind of bank for like at high school age as well. 20K is like
It is.
Shit ton of money.
It is. But like it was weird because it was kind of at that period where like, so it was like all on PayPal, right? And back then, like especially my parents, like they had no clue what like PayPal was or anything. And I would try to explain, like, look, I have this money. And they're like, what the heck is PayPal? Like it's not real money. So I would just spend it on stupid shit. And
is that like the YouTube monetization in that?
A bit of that, but the majority of it was like people paying me to like edit their like montages.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's where like the real like money came in.
When I was making money during high school too on YouTube, I spent on some stupid things. Yeah. I think I bought like a $300 Groot statue, like from Guardians of the Galaxy.
But like the thing is, like we're like young at that stage. So
yeah,
like,
it's like
money is kind of just like, oh fuck it, like I'll just do this with it. I'll do this with it.
It's when I went to uni, left uni, and I'm living on my own, and I'm like, oh damn,
I need
probably
that money
needed
now.
That money to be honest.
Yeah.
To be fair, in high school, I bought a $300 toothbrush with my money. Yeah,
for real,
wasn't the smartest thing. I still got that toothbrush to this day though. Like
what makes a toothbrush $300?
Yeah, like what does that entail?
Vibrates. It's about it. It was a Panasonic toothbrush. It's got like five different modes on it.
Can you Google this right now? I need to see this.
Yeah, I don't think it is that much now, but when it first came out it was like top of the line.
How old were you?
I think I was 16.
I probably would have bought something like that at 16 too, to be honest.
Well, I had a lot of savings. Hold up, Pete. I had a lot of savings and I was just like, I want to buy something nice. And I was just rocking around Noel Leeming and I was like, what's the stupidest thing I can find?
If it had a Supreme logo or something on it, I guarantee people would spend like 800 on it though, for sure.
Yeah, hard. Sorry, I should pull this up. Let's see if it pops up here. Oh, it's similar in price.
What is it?
It's this one here.
$269. Are you spending $269 on a toothbrush?
On a toothbrush is crazy.
It's on sale for $200.
Yeah, it's on sale for $200. Right. You got to get it.
Got to get it. It's on sale. Might as well.
So wait, it looks pretty fire though.
It does look kind of cool.
All right, next question.
If you were to look like in the next 5 years of Skip the Boat, what would your ideal vision be for Skip the Boat for the next 5 years?
Five years is like a long time because like the brand hasn't even been around for 5 years. So I think I'm starting to like understand what you can do in 5 years. So in 5 years, without a doubt, I'm going to have a festival with 50,000 people attending. That's like number one. Like that's just been a goal from like the very start. So that's going to happen. In 5 years, the brand will be completely like global. And we've already started to like make steps outside of NZ, but like to really establish ourselves worldwide. In 5 years, we've got a store We've got multiple stores in New Zealand. We've got a store in Australia. We got one in LA. We got one in the UK. Everywhere, man. Like Tokyo. Like worldwide expansion. But to stick to like the roots of like still trying to put on for the underground. And like the thing is like even at this point, like we're like growing, but we're like growing just to be able to kind of give back to the underground at some point. So like all these shows with like bigger artists and stuff like that. The main focus is to kind of bring these guys on board to kind of elevate like the more underground artists that like we really believe in. So it's hopefully trying to create like a system where we can do that at like a much larger scale and give more artists opportunities. Cause I've just seen so many artists that I really want to do shows with, but there's just so many and it takes so long to kind of get a chance to like work with all these people all at once.
And yeah. 5 years from now, this audio is going to be clipped on like a TikTok and everything you've just said is going to be montaged over every audio, I guarantee you.
Also on top of that, like how was the Canada show? Cause you said you've like gone out of the range. It was in Canada, right?
Yeah, Toronto. Insane. It like made me question why I even do shows in New Zealand. Like, I love doing shows here, but that one show was so special. It's just like energy like on another level. Like people knew all the words to kind of every like underground song that the DJ was playing. The pits were insane. Like pits like I've never seen before.
Guy was hanging on the roof from what I saw. Yeah,
viral like on top of the roof. That was like the most insane clip. That clip went like mega viral. Got like 2 million views or something like on social media. It was insane. But, and it's just so much easier to like network with other people there. Like, you know, like Tekka was like watching our show, which is insane. It's like he like would have never done that if we had a show in New Zealand.
Oh, fuck
that. But nah, that was insane. And the fact that like we like put that together in essentially like 2.5 weeks is kind of crazy.
Fucking insane, bro. What kind of like inspired you to go for a show in Canada?
Canada specifically, to be honest, I just wanted to like see my family, which I hadn't seen in like 11 years. So it started with that original project where I dropped these hoodies and I made like a whole story and like a video about surprising them and traveling all this way to just go to the house, knock on the door and be like, hey. And then I was like, well, if I'm going to travel that way to do that and make a story about it, it doesn't make sense to like not do a show there. Like I'm already going to be there. So we're like, all right, like I'll go do that. I'll be there for like 4 or 5 days, spend time with family, and then I'll fly over to Toronto. And then Vio will fly there. Dallas, who was like filming everything, flew there as well.
Sure.
And we were there in Toronto for about 3 weeks and we kind of just smashed it out.
Shit. So walk us through the like ideal way to plan one of these shows, like just kind of step by step. Like what do you do to make it like honest, so successful as well?
Bro, like there is no like real way. Like our shit still goes wrong to like this very day. Like even with the Canada show, like we had a venue and we're like, all right, like let's at least sort out some stuff before we get there, so at least we can guarantee that we're gonna have a show before we leave. Like a venue is like, you know, like the bare minimum. So we locked in a venue, and then when we got to Canada and everything, they pulled out on us. And I was like, all right, this is like every show ever.
Kind of classic, yeah.
How early on did they pull out?
So like, this was like 2 days like before we were about to announce the show.
Okay.
And
I mean, at least you didn't do it.
Like, yeah. So like, announced it. We like had 2 days to quickly like find another venue space, which was kind of a blessing because the venue that we did use wasn't even a venue. It was like a warehouse, which was so fucking sick because like no one had done a show in there before.
And it kind of goes with the brand as well, because you guys are underground, and when you have like a warehouse, it kind of just makes it more underground. 100%. Like you said, yeah.
Only like real shit thing about doing shows in like warehouse and stuff is the like cost of doing it, which is insane. Like we went over budget by an insane amount, and because of that, I'm still trying to like work my way out of debt now. So, but like I have like no regrets about it because it was hands down like one of the best experiences of my life. And being able to do that and share that with my cousins, which I hadn't seen in like 11 years, just was like the like icing on the cake, you know what I mean? But I loved it. I don't know, man. Like North America is just somewhere where like I really want to start like pushing more stuff to, like New York, LA.
I want to go to New York so bad.
Same here. And the food there is insane, man. Like I spent way too much on like food in Canada and everything. It was insane, but
how do you find the artists you do find for your shows?
like the bigger like headliners or like the more like underground kind
of artists? Just both of, like both in general. How do you usually typically find them?
So for like the headliners, like DC the Don and Tanner and stuff like that, Matt Ox and all that, it's just like artists that like we like kind of fuck with and like always have like really like been fans of. And then it's just like, I don't know, like you, like once you book like one, you like open like your network to like a whole lot of other like, you know, agents and stuff that like are booking these artists.
Okay.
So it just kind of gets easier to like reach out to them and email them and be like, hey, look, we did a show with DC Don in this like car park with 700 people. And they're like, oh, okay, this looks sick. Like we could let you book this artist. And then with the more underground artists, it's kind of just like finding them on like Spotify, Instagram a lot. And like, you know, I try to post where like I get people to tag a bunch of like underground artists and then I go through them and I check them all out. And yeah, I try to put on as many as I can. It's tough though, because like one thing that I really try to stay away from is having a lineup with like 30 artists, because I want each artist that's performing at the show to get their own chance to like shine. And when you have 30 artists on the lineup,
it's hard to do that.
Yeah, like people aren't paying attention to each artist on that, especially if they're underground. So we try to get like maybe three underground artists and then like a headliner. And then at least those three artists, like they're like,
their time.
Yeah, you know, like they will get the attention that they deserve by like being on that show.
We just recently had a rapper on, probably H-Shark. 2-3 weeks ago.
I played that one like just before I came. It was sick.
Yeah, we got them on and he was supposed to be on one of your shows apparently.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure which one.
I don't know which one it was, but he was talking about it to us afterwards and he said he was supposed to come on one of your first couple of shows.
Oh, shit, they're young, they're talented. One person, I just directed a film in cinemas and the guy Furo, he made a song for it. And he came to premiere, listened to it. Furo is a good guy, I reckon. He's been on one of our episodes. I always use his music for my movies. He's really fire. All of those guys are talented.
Yeah, yeah.
Check them out 100%. They're there.
For sure. Yeah, no, I've like heard of their stuff and I'm pretty sure H-Chuck, like, I remember he like posted up like a story. And there was like a skip the boat line in it. I just thought that was like the coolest shit ever.
That's it. How do you find it when people like, when you hear your music, do people usually like mention skip the boat much or?
It's starting to a lot more. I've noticed like, especially like in like the past year, there's been a lot of artists like in New Zealand and stuff. They have like dropped like skip the boat lines in their songs, which is super cool. Like, I don't know. I just find that to be like the coolest thing.
Surreal moment.
Yeah. It's sick. It's so sick.
It must be like listening to that. You're like, that's me.
Yeah. No, 100%. It's cool. Yeah.
So when your store opens, what kind of drops are you going to have? Are you going to have the later drops or are you going to have some of the like OG drops?
So it'll be like a lot of like the core stuff and like the standard stuff. And then I'm going to try to do like special in-store like exclusives and stuff. Maybe even like early access to like some upcoming drops or like if they come in store like the day before they can cop it. I kind of just want to play around with it and see what kind of works. Like at the moment, like there's nothing like really set. On the opening day, there will be some like sold out drops that I just have like lying around. And that's kind of their chance to get it if they want it. A few like custom pieces and a few stuff that I'm dropping later in the year, but I'm going to have it at the opening for people that want to get it early. But yeah, I'll kind of just see how it goes. Like I have no idea about like how any of it's going to go. Like I don't even know what like the store hours are going to be yet. I'm just going to like go with it and then figure it out. But I don't know, just taking it day by day and just trying to learn from it, I guess.
That's cool. Well, like, because you've made a whole brand in New Zealand, how have you kind of found the tall poppy syndrome within New Zealand?
Yeah, it's shit. But I don't know. Like the thing is, like, I think people talk about it a lot. And it's like, I don't know. Like, you can't really, like, change it. Unless like you're like trying to do something like at a bigger scale. So like recently we like started like this website where we're trying to like encourage people to upload their dreams and hoping that it kind of creates like a community of people where people go on it and not just post their dreams, but kind of scroll through it, find someone's dreams where they could help them and kind of get in touch with them. So like trying to make steps like that, like raising awareness is awesome and stuff. And like, we like always try to do that. But it's hard to just be like, yo, like stop doing that, like, you know what I mean?
People
like,
are just gonna do it naturally.
It's like it happens. It's kind of just like trying to like build a wall to like kind of ignore as much as you can, but it is what it is, man. Like it doesn't like really discourage me from me doing what I do. Like, there's always going to be people hating and trying to bring you down. And if you can't really put up with that, then it's probably not like the right place for you to be kind of making your content. I don't know. Yeah.
No, you're right. That's kind of what inspired this top as well. Like, guys shitting on you and
yeah. This top? I haven't seen it.
I think I wore it last episode.
Shit's kind of ass.
Yeah, someone commented that on like a drop that I did and I just put it on a t-shirt. It's just like, I don't know, like I don't take it that serious. I think like when someone's hating on you in like the comments or whatever, it comes from a place where like something's going wrong in their lives. You know what I mean? Like someone that's happy and fulfilled in their life and successful in what they're doing will never try to bring someone else down. Mm-hmm. So for someone to comment hate and like negativity, like
something's
happening in their life, you know? So like I don't take it to heart, you know? Like it is what it is.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. So if this, well, hopefully this store is going to go well in Newmarket, where would you like to have your next store open up if you'd open a second one?
I think Wellington would be cool. And like, I really want to do more stuff there. We like had that one bad experience where we did a show and the cops shut it down like 24 hours out, which kind of just pissed me off. And then,
is that in Wellington?
Yeah. And like, I was so excited for the show. It was our first like international artist that we booked. Everything was like going insane. We had like 30,000 people texting. It was going to be like history. And then,
but how can they do that?
That's what I'm saying. Dude, it pissed me off so much. So like it's such a long story. And like there's like episodes where like we like kind of show it all happening like and break it down fully. But essentially we had this warehouse space and the cops called like the owner of it, which we had spoken to and everything. And he was super cool. And they basically said, if you guys let this party go down, there's going to be issues.
But you
and
booked
gonna be,
it. I don't.
Like the thing is, because we don't use like normal venues, it's like warehouses and stuff.
Okay.
But we had full permission from the guy and everything. And we even went around to like all the neighbors and told them like, yo, this is happening. We went to the police station and said, hey, this is a heads up. This is happening.
How they found out about it.
But the thing is, only reason we did that is because someone like DM'd me and was like, hey man, I think the cops know about it. I live in the area and they came to me and asked questions. So we're like, okay, let's just go to the police and we'll just be honest with them, be like, hey, and try to make it look like it's not sketchy by being like, look, we're doing this and you're invited if you want to come check it out. There's not going to be drugs. There's not going to be, you know, like all this stuff, like trying to like tell them that there's security, everything. But then 24 hours out, which is complete bullshit because we had told them like 5 days before, but 24 hours out, they decide to call the guy that owns the warehouse and be like, and basically just scare him. Like, hey, if you do this, we're going to have problems. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And I think a big part of that was that warehouse was located right next to like this like government house or something like that, which is bullshit. Like that shouldn't affect anything, you know?
I mean, you told the neighbors and you told
Dude, it was complete bullshit. But like that, like one kind of thing kind of just pissed me off with like Welly, which kind of sucks because there's a lot of people from Welly that support the brand and I want to do more stuff for them. But
I've only been to Wellington twice. First time, second time I went there, I could see people wearing the shirts. Like it's so many young people there. It's all just uni. So it's a perfect place to do it.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I guess if we were going to open a store, probably like Welly or Christchurch. Christchurch is just like always shown love.
Yeah.
Hamilton.
Do you reckon you'll try out that venue again?
Oh, hell no.
Can't risk it.
Dude, I had like the biggest like meltdown ever. Like I was like, I don't know. Like I didn't sleep for like 48 hours. It was the most like stressful thing ever. And I was pissed off because we invested like a whole month trying to bring this to like life. We spent so much money to like bring this to life. And the fact that it all just crumbled in 24 hours. Like I felt bad for the people that were like flying out to like come to the show and everything. Like that's what really pissed me off. Like the show ended up happening, but it wasn't a warehouse. It was like a normal venue and we were pissed off about it. But the people that came had an amazing time, which was sick. But
is there like a level of people hating or was it a respect like it is what it is?
People were super like respectful for it.
Okay,
people were so nice about it and they're like, hey, like we understand. And like I appreciate that and everything, but I was pissed off because like I felt like I let them down still.
Yeah.
You know? So that kind of sucked.
Are all of your shows still free?
Yeah, pretty much. I probably need to stop doing that because, like, the like issue is like we like make money and then we blow it all on like these free shows and then we make it again. And like, it's not like a like healthy lifestyle to like really be living because, like, at this point, like, dude, I have like maybe like a couple hundred bucks in my account, like dead ass, like, you know what I mean? But like, it's just part of it. We're like, that's just how it's always been. Where. We like make all this money from like the clothing and we like give it back to people. And we, I don't know, like I just believe so deeply that in doing that, like it'll always come back to you and it always has. But yeah, it's probably not the healthiest kind of thing to do. And my mom gets pissed off at me. Like, why are you doing this?
Have you ever thought about like charging like a gold coin donation at the door sort of thing? Like,
that's just weird. I don't know. I mean, like it's not, but it's like, oh, at that point, like, is it even like, you know, like, I might as well make it free.
Yeah.
I don't know though, but I don't know. Yeah. I get that question a lot. Like, people, like, why are they still free?
How did you find that in like Toronto and the other places? Were people pretty like?
Oh, Toronto fucked with it, man. They were like, "Yo, this is sick." Like, I don't know, because like people out there, I guess, don't really do that. So we kind of like shook it up a lot, which is so cool. That's why I feel like if we kind of took the stuff that we're doing here over to like a market like North America or even like the UK, I think it would be a huge hit.
I reckon UK would.
Yeah, it would. UK. Yeah, it would be sick to be in like London or something. But yeah, I think like we've spent probably like close to like $250,000 on these free shows, which is weird. Like, because if I think about it, I'm like, damn, $250,000, I could have like had like a deposit for like a house or something. But I don't know. I feel like that's such like a bad like mindset to have, because at the end of the day, like none of the of anything that's happening would have ever happened if we didn't do those free shows. So it's just part of the process, it's man.
The experience that you've done it, and it's, you'll remember that.
Yeah, it's cool stories to tell. Like, yeah. I can't wait to like be old and like look back on these like videos of us trying to put together a show in like Wellington and everything crumbled in 24 hours. Like, I don't know. I'll probably like laugh about it like when I'm 60 and playing that back.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
What kind of why free? Like, was there kind of any specific reason that you thought like, oh, I'm gonna have a free show instead of like making people pay like 5, 10, 20 bucks sort of thing?
It started off as being like, we know that we can throw cool shows, and we want to prove it to everyone, and how can we do that where there's like no risk for anyone? So I was like, all right, fuck it, like we'll just invest some money and we'll throw like a free show. And we'll invite as many people to it, try to pack it out like crazy, get a bunch of attention, people will come to it and they'll see what a Skip the Boat show is like, and then they'll want to come back even if they have to pay. Like, it doesn't matter. But then we just got carried away where they were like, oh wait, we did one in Auckland, now we should probably do one in every single city so everyone knows about it. And then we did it, like, oh wait, but like we should probably do one again in Auckland because it was so much fun. And then it kind of just got carried away where we just said, okay, fuck all that ideology shit, and we'll just keep on doing it. And I don't know, people just love it, I guess.
How many shows have you done so far?
Oh, shit. Like free shows?
Yeah, yeah.
Auckland, Wellington, Hamilton, Christchurch, Auckland again. I did like Vietnam, Tokyo.
Yeah, Tokyo.
Tokyo was in Canada. You're probably like 8 or 9.
Shit.
But there were so many shows like before that, you know, I was doing like trying to build up to that point. Mm-hmm. And some had like 5 people turn up. And it was just part of the process, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it just kind of happened and a bunch of people came to it. It's like there were like 30 shows that I did to even get to that point where there would be a good amount of people turning up.
There was kind of a grind behind it.
Oh, 100%. You know, like there were shows where no one even turned up and there were shows where a good amount of people turned up.
What's the biggest one? Is that the Canada one?
Oh, the Canada one was sick. I would say we had... I don't even know. I think it was like 700-ish people turn up to that.
What's your personal favorite?
My personal favorite, it was like the Christchurch one that we did like way back. It was like that Halloween one, and then we surprised everyone and brought out Vile. I don't know, because I just find stuff like that cool, where like it's like a huge like shock factor.
And then like you chuck out like clothes.
Yeah, yeah, you know. So like Christchurch was so sick, but I love the Hamilton show, which we did in the car park with DC the Don.
I saw that one.
That was so sick. I loved that one so much, just because one, it was like in my hometown. Two, it was like one of my favorite artists. Three, it was packed out. It was sick.
I'm surprised that didn't get shut down by the cops.
Dude, I was so scared like the whole night. I was paranoid. And then cops did come just before DC was about to get on. And luckily, our friend Nick, who's the guy that does all of our visas for artists, he was like onto it. He like went straight to the cops and like, look, like we've got all the right documents, everything here. And the cops were like, oh shit, all right, well like no one's hurt, so why not? Yeah.
I remember when you guys gave away those free tops in the city, in Auckland City.
And in like the ice cream truck?
Yeah, bro, you guys pretty much shut down the whole bloody like all of Auckland.
That was crazy.
I was going to come, but I ended up getting stuck in traffic on the way there I missed it. And I was like real bummed out. And I said with one of my mates who lives in the city, I was like, oh, bro, could you rock down to like this area? Bro's like coming along, handing out shirts. Bro rocked up and there was just a massive crowd. He's like, nah, fuck that. I don't really want to be around that many people. But what was that like seeing that many supporters there just in Auckland as well?
Insane, dude. Like, I don't know. I've never seen anything like that before. And it was weird because we didn't really know what to expect going into it. We just dropped like the coordinates for it like 24 hours before. Mm. So I was like, all right, like in 24 hours, we're going to be here, pull up here. And we're like, all right, either there's going to be like 5 people turning up or maybe there'll be like 100. And then earlier in the day, I see people sending me like videos of them already at the spot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell? It's like 8 a.m. Like,
is it diehard fans?
Yeah. And I see it like slowly, like throughout the day, it's just like building up. And I'm like, holy shit, like this is probably going to be a lot bigger than we even thought. And then we go get the ice cream truck and we start heading over there. And we like weren't meant to be there for like another like hour or so. And my friend, he like FaceTimes me and he shows me like the crowd that's already there like an hour beforehand, and it was like the whole car park was like full of people, like you couldn't fit more people into that car park essentially. And I was like, all right, fuck it, like let's just go there now, because if we wait any longer, the cops are going to come and they're going to shut it down, because like we didn't have permission to be there. I think it was like a like Wilson car park. Mm. So like the cops could have came and just like, yo, everyone get out. Yeah. So we're like, all right, let's not like risk it, let's just be grateful that there's people there and it's packed, let's just go right now and just do what we can. And as we were driving there, a cop car tried to pull us over, but it was like just as like we were like about to turn in.
And then they drove off.
No, we're like, they like followed us in. And then everyone thought that like we like got like a police escort, but that was not the case. It was just like them trying to like pull us over. But I was like, no, fuck it, like do not pull over. Like we're nearly there, just keep going. And then we pull up to it. And we're just like driving through this massive crowd. And they're like clearing the way for us. We like park this like ice cream truck like right in the middle. And there's just like a swarm of people, both sides of like the ice cream truck.
What did the cops end up doing? They just
So Mikey, he was like helping us. He like went to the cop straight away because like I told him, I was like, dude, if this cop come, please someone just like delay them, do something. Mm. And he went to him and he's like, and the cop was like, what's going on? Like, what is all this? Mm. And it's like, oh, it's just like a brand, and they're just like giving away clothing. Mm. And the cop's like, oh, okay, cool. And he just like sat there and watched.
Watched.
Yeah, he watched and then he dipped after like 10 minutes or so.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, like. No, cops are like bad. Like it was just Welly, but Hamilton cops are cool. Auckland cops are cool with us. Like it's chill.
Do you know why they were trying to pull you over?
I have no clue. I wasn't even thinking about it. I just knew like, do not pull over. If we pull over, this is not going to work. Like just go.
Ice cream truck going in the crowd. They're like, this must be some good ice cream.
Yeah.
How did you even get a Mr. Whippy van? Like what the hell?
It wasn't a Mr. Whippy. It was like this like random like ice cream company in like Auckland. Like I called like every ice cream company. I was like, hey, we want like the ice cream truck, like not the ice cream, just the ice cream truck. Like, mm-hmm. can you make this happen? As one guy, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Like, what's it for? And I was like, oh, it's kind of like a birthday party celebration thing. And I was like, okay, cool. And then he was meant to come. And I was like, oh, it's going to be so bad because he's just going to drive away. But then he like got COVID or something. So he's like, oh, like the truck's at this address. Go pick it up from my son instead. And I was like, oh, that's like perfect. So we went, picked it up, pulled up, and we just threw like $3,000 worth of stock out to everyone. And I felt so bad because there were so many people that just didn't get something because there was just way too many people. But we were just trying to like hand it out to as many people as we could. And dude, that day was like so iconic for us. It was like hands down probably like one of the best moments of like STB hands down.
How long ago was that?
It was last year.
Last year?
Yeah, like last year, like June.
That's fire.
Yeah.
How would you say your Tokyo show went? Because I saw a lot about it on the Instagram, but I never actually kind of got time to watch the videos and stuff. Would you say that was a pretty good show as well?
It was awesome, man. And like, I think the coolest thing about the whole Tokyo thing was like the video series, like not even like the show itself. Like the show was awesome and it was insane and it was a good crowd and we had so much fun. But like the whole series of like leading up to the show that we did, I just think it was genuinely like one of like the best content that we've ever done. There was like a group of like six of us that all went to Tokyo. And we just had like the best time ever. It was so much fun. And like we like bumped into like Frank Ocean, and we gave him a t-shirt. We bumped into like Lancey Foe. He's got a t-shirt as well. And we bumped into like Filthy, and they what all the have hell? Shirts. Like within that like 1 month, they're like, we were there. Like somehow we just bumped into like these crazy, crazy artists. Just by chance.
How did you find getting the like venue? Because there's a, in my opinion, I went to Japan a couple of years ago. There's quite a big language barrier there. How did you find actually communicating with the like venues and stuff like that?
That was the funnest speaking part, English. Man. I love that shit so much. Like, I don't know why. It's just so cool. Like trying to speak to someone where like you don't really speak the language, like, you know, very few words, and they know very few words of your language, but like you're like trying to communicate with them, and then they understand. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, like we're like on the same page, I think. Whereas like Canada was like quite, I don't know, like Canada was fun. It was just kind of boring. It was like, oh, hey, can you book a venue? Yeah, sure. Whereas Tokyo was like, oh, like,
A bit more of a challenge.
You know, like, how can I say this to you? Yeah, I mean, it was a challenge, but it was a fun challenge. It was like, oh, you know, I was on like Google Translate trying to figure out like how to say venue, like hiring venue, like how can I do this?
How many venues would you say you talked to before you actually found one in Japan?
Oh, dude, like every venue there. Yeah, like we went to like everyone. Like it was insane. Like especially in like the main like kind of like district where like all the clubs are and everything, and their venues are insane. Like a whole nother level. Like I don't know how to explain it. Like it's kind of like if you took our venues in like Auckland and stuff, and like it's on like steroids. Like multiple floors, crazy ass technology. Yeah, I don't know. It was just incredible. It was so cool to see that kind of like technology there.
It's kind of cool to see your brand out there as well, because like Japan's like the fashion district of the world.
Yeah.
And you guys were just like chilling there, giving out your free t-shirts, bro. If someone saw that, like Frank Ocean wearing that t-shirt, people would be like, where the hell do I get that?
Yeah.
And then that kind of brings a lot of outreach to you guys, which is cool.
Yeah, for sure. Like the Frank Ocean thing, like I'm pretty sure he like probably would have just like put it in the bin or something. But like I don't even, like I was just stoked to like be able to even hand them a t-shirt, like, hey, look, this is our brand from like NZ, we like do free shows, da 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 da. And I was like, yo, if you don't fuck with the shirt, just bin it, it's all good, but just take it. And he took it. It was actually a shirt off like my like friend's like back, like he was like wearing it. I was like, dude, take off your shirt right now, like let's just give it to him. And it was just like a blank like logo tee. It was probably like sweaty as shit. I handed it to him, he was like, what the fuck is this? But yeah,
what was it like meeting Frank Ocean? That's like fucking sick.
Yeah, it was cool. I don't know, it was chill. Yeah, it was just like a small like interaction. I was like, hey, that's just cool. A fan of your shit. Here's a t-shirt, and just explain the brand, and that was it.
That's awesome.
That's cool. Yeah.
We're hitting the 40-minute mark.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, when you're in a good chat, it doesn't even feel like that.
Yeah, for real.
But everybody probably knows how to find you, but like for the people who don't, how can we like find you? And your store too, again, if you want to mention that.
Yes, so the store's going to be opening up on April 6th. 88 Broadway, Newmarket, Auckland. Social media wise, you can find the brand at Skip the Boat on Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. And me, I'm just at Herman with a V. But yeah, Skip the Boat's the one to go to. My account's boring as shit, but that's the one.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Awesome. All right. Have a good day. Cheers.